It is lovely to be here with you today. Another thing I did when I first arrived here at the camp centre was have a little walk round to see all of the facilities and all that are here. And I must confess, I took one of the basketballs out of that container thing and stood and shot a few baskets. And then I thought to myself, wow, I really am in America. This afternoon, we're going to be looking at the theme, Hearing God. Now, maybe this is a part of prayer that you've never really thought about. You see, as we were listening this morning, true Christianity is a relationship with God. And prayer is not a one-way thing. It's not just me talking to God. It's learning how to listen that God should speak to me. Let's just bow in a little word of prayer. Let's just pray. Our Father, we bow in your holy presence here this afternoon. And Lord, we want to submit ourselves and this time over to you. And Father, we ask that you might send the blessed Holy Spirit into our midst, Lord. And teach us what real living fellowship with you is all about. So Father, we invite you to come right now into our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a sister-in-law who has two children. And when her oldest child was about 7 years old, his little baby sister was born. And my sister-in-law suffers from high blood pressure, so both her children were born early, and they were very, very small. And when Andrew's little sister, Victoria, was born, she was just over 2 pounds in weight. And so she was kept in the incubator in the hospital and all the wires attached. And as you can imagine, it was a very anxious time for the family. And they were wondering how this little newborn baby, so tiny, was going to do. And Andrew was out playing in the garden, just 7 years of age, remember? And he came in out of the garden and he said to his mum, "Mum, does God speak to us?" And his mum said to him, "Yes, Andrew, God does speak." And Andrew, with a big smile, said, "Well, God just spoke to me and he told me that Victoria's going to be all right." And if I were to introduce you to Victoria today, she's 14 years of age, she's perfectly normal, and she's a lovely child. Does God speak? I wonder, as you look into your experience and your Christian life, can you look back to those points when God spoke? I want you to turn with me into John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. The Lord Jesus himself said these words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And you know, that's a wonderful verse, and I'm sure you've heard it quoted. But maybe you put that verse into the past tense, some of you. And you look back to a point in your experience when God spoke and you knew that you were not saved, that you were not a Christian, and that you needed to repent and give your life over to God. And at that point, you yielded your heart and you were born again into God's family. But somehow or another now, that verse stays in the past. Yes? You heard his voice. You knew that he saw you. And you started to follow him. But do you understand that when it says, my sheep hear my voice, it's talking in the present tense. My sheep are hearing my voice. And I am knowing them, and they are following me. Let's just look a little bit into that chapter about God's voice. And I want you to notice this very specifically where it mentions the voice of God. It says in verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. You see, there is salvation in hearing the voice of Jesus. This is a picture of the sheep that are safe in the sheepfold. And when the true shepherd comes to get those sheep, he doesn't climb up by some other way. He comes directly to the door. And the watchman or the porter who's seated at the door knows the shepherd and opens the door to him. And the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. I wonder, as you sit here this afternoon, can you say that you are one of those sheep? Have you entered into the safety of God's fold? And do you know the voice of the shepherd? It goes on there to say in verse 3, it says, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You see, there's intimacy. He calls his own sheep by name. I wonder, have you ever heard God speak to you in such a way that you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was you he was speaking to? He calls us by name. I'll never forget sitting in a women's conference. And God spoke right into my spirit. And the verse that he spoke into my heart was this. He will joy over you with singing. Now, you know, the amazing thing about that is, joy is my middle name. And God repeated that 3 times. The first time I heard it just directly to my spirit, it wasn't anything anybody said. It just came directly into my spirit. The second time, it was in the second of the meetings over that ladies' conference, and the speaker was speaking, and she said, I'm not going to speak this morning, but I'm going to open it up, and you can ask me any question you like. And somebody piped up from the audience, and they said, what's your favorite verse? And the lady said some other verse, and then she said, and I have another one. He will joy over you with singing. At that point, I knew God was speaking to me beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I felt emotional about it, and I got up out of my seat, and I went out into the ladies' restroom, only to see that beside each one of the sinks, there was a little verse in a frame. And I was standing at the sink, and I looked down, and I thought, I know what this verse is going to say. Yes, you're right. It was Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. At the very end of that verse, it says, he will joy over you with singing. He knows his own sheep, and he calls them by name. There is intimacy in hearing the voice of God. But I want you to notice this as well, there in verse 4. And he putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There is guidance in hearing the voice of God. Now, I've been involved for 9 years. I was involved in the missionary work that's in Ireland, known as the Faith Mission. And I came back to Ireland after I was born, actually, in New Zealand, went to Ireland, and came back to Ireland after I'd finished university, and God called me into that missionary work. And I was working with them for about 9 years, and we were involved at a particular point in a missionary outreach in a place just a bit outside of Belfast. And I remember being involved in those meetings, and it was a wonderful time, and God was working and speaking, and there were people coming to know him. And somebody else was coming along to those meetings, a particular young man. And sometimes he would arrive fairly late, and he would park right outside the door. And a lot of the people in the meetings started to nudge me and say, "What's he coming for? He's a nice person, you know." But you know, I didn't speak to him at all in the meetings, apart from a shake hand going out the door. And it was coming up to the end of what was a 4-week outreach that we were doing in that particular place. And at the end of those 4 weeks, I was to speak in the meeting that was on that evening. And as I was praying before going out to the meeting and praying over the message and just talking to the Lord, God spoke to me. And God said to me, and it came so clear into my spirit, "He's going to ask you out tonight." Now, I must admit, I was completely taken by surprise. That wasn't what I was praying about at all. And at the end of the meeting, we were counseling some people who'd responded. And so the meeting was delayed a little bit. And I went then, came back in, and then we were standing by the door. And that certain young man came over and started to chat. And he asked me what I was doing. Now the meetings were over. And then he said, "Well, if you have a few days off, I'd like to take you out to dinner." And so that's how the relationship started with my husband, who is now my husband. I'd gone to work with that missionary organization over in England. I was posted over to there, and we were separated for a period of time. And one day, as I was just praying and praying about the whole situation, the Lord spoke to me again. And this time he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And you know, I do think sometimes the Lord has a sense of humor. And you know, I say that and it can sound humorous, but because God guided me in that very important decision of life, when that was tested, and I'm going to tell you that that was tested to the hilt. The enemy tried to get in at one point in the marriage to break it up completely. But you know, I could always go back to the point and say, "Lord, you led me into this." Amen. And I was able to stand because of that. You see, there is guidance when you hear the voice of God. There is also clarity when you hear the voice of God. It says there in verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." You see, God is able to so speak into our lives that as we begin to tune into that voice and get to know it better and better, there's a real security that we can stay within the fellowship and with God, that we won't be led astray into false things, but we can know him in the middle of it. And you know the wonderful thing as well, there is security in hearing the voice of God. It says there in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, there is security in hearing, knowing, and following the voice of God. Now I ask you again, what is your Christian experience like? Are you hearing the voice of God? If not, what is wrong? What's wrong? You see, if we go back into the beginning, when God created us, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And that's a wonderful picture when you think of it, because the name for God that's used there is the plural. So it's speaking of God as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we know that God made us a Trinity. He made us body, soul, and spirit. But you know, I believe when God said, "Let us make man in our image," it's speaking of even more than that. Because you see, when you think of God as a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's a wonderful picture of real, living, dynamic fellowship. The Father loves the Son. There's a strong relationship and bond between the Father and the Son. The Son wants to glorify the Father, and the Spirit takes the Son and magnifies him. And so you can see this whole trinity of relationship within the Godhead. You see, if you ever had the idea that God created man and woman because he was lonely, that's a very false idea. There's wonderful fellowship within the Godhead. And the whole purpose of God creating Adam and Eve in the garden was to draw them into that fellowship. You see, there's a lovely verse in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 21 and 23, where it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him." Can you get the picture of what's happening there? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit entering in with you and me into this wonderful bond of fellowship, this very real relationship. And that's how God created it to be. You find the story recorded in Genesis chapter 3, and it tells us in verse 8 how God used to come down to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and walk and talk with them in the garden. And what an amazing relationship that was, as they talked over the events of the day and just walked in step with God. And then the fall occurred and sin came. And we find that fear entering for the first time. And how Adam and Eve fled from the presence of God. And the Bible says they hid themselves amongst the trees. And then we read in verse 9 those words for the very first time in the Bible. The Lord God called. You see, can you understand that? They'd moved out of earshot. The fellowship was broken. The communion was broken. And so God had to call Adam. Adam, where are you? And you know, there's a point in our lives when God calls. We are in that position, separated from Him. And I don't know what it takes sometimes to stir your heart and to move you and to cause you to hear it. But sometimes it takes a great upheaval. And in the midst of the upheaval, He's calling, calling, wanting to invite you back into that living fellowship with Him. And you know, in that story in Genesis chapter 3, there are three questions that God asks. And I think those three questions are key to pinpointing exactly where we are in our relationship with God. What was the first question? Where are you? Where are you? And you know, as God would ask us that here this afternoon, what does it begin to bring to the surface in your mind? Where are you? How close is that relationship with God? Are you really walking here this afternoon, hand in hand with Him? Do you know Him with you in the circumstances of life? Or has there come a distance and you don't know that voice? You haven't heard it maybe for a long time. Where are you? I want you to notice the second question. Who told you that you were naked? And you know, I think we have to understand here, it's not that God didn't want them to know they were naked. That's how He had created them. What God was really asking there was, who have you been listening to? Who are you listening to? You see, there's so many voices that come at us. There's what other people tell us, what they think, what they're saying. There's the voice of the enemy, Satan, planting those doubts, those deceptions, twisting, distorting the character of God. There's your own thoughts about a situation. Now, I want to ask you in this meeting here this afternoon, bring it right down to the situation that you are in now. Who have you been listening to? Who are you listening to? And you see, that's so very important, because the voice that you're listening to will determine how the whole situation evolves, and it will eventually determine your destiny. And what's the third question God asked? What have you done? What have you done? You see, God, when He searches us out in our relationship with Him, never beats about the bush. I found that with God. He always pinpoints the exact obstacle and problem. What have you done? You see, if we could understand the seriousness of sin, we would think twice before doing it. Sin has repercussions that you and I maybe are not even aware of. There's a story that's told during the days of the revival up in the Outer Hebrides, when God's Spirit was so moving upon the community, and people began to hear it, the call from heaven, the voice of God. And a man was heard as he stumbled into one of the drinking houses. He kept turning around and shouting out the words, "Stop following me. Why are you following me?" He would take a few more steps and then he would turn again. "Stop following me. Why are you following me?" And a man sitting in the room looked at him and said, "Who are you speaking to? There's nobody following you." And the man with anguish in his voice said, "It's my children and they're following me to hell." You see, we do not understand what sin does. It's like taking pebbles. You throw them into a pond. It seems so little, so insignificant. You throw it into the pond, and what happens? The ripples. The ripples go out. And you know, some things that maybe you have been involved in and you have been doing, you do not understand the repercussions of those things upon your children, your family, your grandchildren, your church, your community. You see, when God asked the question of Adam and Eve, "What have you done?" they couldn't fully grasp it, could they? That act of disobedience and rebellion against God was going to affect humanity down through generation after generation after generation. You see, I want you to hear it this afternoon, God's voice. As we go into this few days together in this prayer advance, seeking to get back into living, real fellowship with Him, where are you? Who are you listening to? What have you done? And you know, I love the writings of John, because John was that disciple who leaned on the breast of Jesus. The one who knew all about intimate fellowship with Him. And he tells us how that fellowship can be so dynamic and real. Remember how it is John who recounts the story of Jesus meeting with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was that very religious man, the Pharisee. And he could ream off all of the scriptures, say them by memory. A man who lived his life by rules and regulations, but a man who didn't know God like Jesus knew Him. And he sought out Jesus by night, wanting to know the secret of this real, dynamic, living relationship. And the Lord Jesus spoke and He said those words to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And the key word within that little story is the word spirit. You see, when God created us, body, soul, and spirit, the spirit was that dynamic part of our being that was made unique above all of the other creation, that would enable us to be able to fellowship with God, who is a spirit. But when the fall occurred, the spirit bond with God, who is a spirit, was broken. And the light died within our hearts. But when the Holy Spirit comes from God into us, that moment we're born again, what happens is our human spirit is brought to life. And through that, we can worship and hear God and know God in a living, dynamic way. You see, you're sitting here maybe, and you're not a Christian. Maybe you thought you were. And you've tried so hard to read the Bible, and it's difficult to understand. You've tried to pray, and God feels like a million miles away. What you need is to be born again. You need the Spirit part of your being to be brought to life by God's Holy Spirit. John also goes on to tell the story of the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well. And she was that woman who was ostracized. She couldn't come to the well at the time of the other women because of her sin and her shame and the lifestyle she was living. But the Lord Jesus waited at that well for that woman. And he had that conversation with her. And she started to speak to the Lord Jesus about the temple and going into the Samaritan temple, which was different from the Jewish temple. And then Jesus spoke to her and he said those words, "Ye worship ye know not what, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." You see, the agent who brings the human spirit to life is none other than the Holy Spirit. I love those words when John again goes on to speak of that. In John's Gospel chapter 7, and he says in verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." You see, the dynamic of a living relationship with God is through the activity of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And you know what I want to say to you here this afternoon? Open up your life to the Holy Spirit. He is perhaps the most misunderstood person of the Godhead. And perhaps so often the one most feared. But if you want to know what he will do when he is fully released within your life, I would say this to you, because this was a turning point in my Christian life. When I heard somebody speak and explain the workings of the Holy Spirit through the writings of John, if you will take and some time on your own, just in your own quietness, take the chapters, John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. What the Lord Jesus himself told the disciples to expect when the Holy Spirit would come. And if you will get alone with the Lord and with you, the Word of God, and ask God to reveal that to you, I think you'll find a secret that will so revolutionize your Christian life that you'll never be the same again. Hearing God. Do you know the reality of a spirit brought to life? The Holy Spirit living within. The Holy Spirit fully released within. I'm just going to leave you with those three questions. Where are you? Who are you listening to? What have you done? Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God. That you call your own sheep by name and you lead them out. That you want to speak into these lives of ours and reveal yourself. And Father, the hunger on our hearts is that we might know you in a deeper way. That our lives might be released to be what you really want us to be. And Father, I'm just asking by your Holy Spirit that way beyond the words of a preacher or somebody speaking at the front, that you would speak them and write them deep into our hearts. God, that we would hear it. Where are you? Who are you listening to? What have you done? And draw us, Lord, by your great grace. Draw us by the way of the cross back to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.